Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rivalry Radio on this beautiful rainy Saturday in the state of Michigan. Tyler Hayward and I will talk about Sparty versus Duke. Huge game. Huge, huge game. I want to talk a little bit about the games yesterday first. Obviously, Kentucky, huge win over Houston. Boy, Houston, 2 years in a row where they a shot. They're beat by a shot. I mean, that's pretty much it. And, you know, last year the Michigan buzzer beater was huge by Jordan Poole. And then Tyler, the hero, with a huge three-point shot that takes down the Cougars. Obviously, a huge win for Kentucky as they go to the Elite Eight. And they play oh-so-familiar Auburn, who is playing just unbelievable basketball right now. It's just one of those things where I think the familiarity that Kentucky has with Auburn will help them, because Auburn's playing as good or better than anybody in the country right now. I mean, they really are. Auburn is scary good. The way they handled North Carolina was amazing. And Auburn is just, like many teams in this time of year, just starts rolling at the perfect time. And they're fast, they're athletic, and they're just going to be really tough to beat. But I do think Kentucky having a little bit of familiarity with them helps them, where I think they'd have a harder time with North Carolina. Tyler's with us. Tyler, I mean, we don't need to get into any of the Kentucky stuff because I know you don't really give a crap. So let's go to Sparty Duke right away. You know, we're excited, obviously. Huge game. I mean, this is – I think this is what we want. I mean, as much as you would say you don't want it, because Duke has had such a stranglehold on this rivalry. I wouldn't even call it a rivalry, this game, I guess. I think this year's different. Let's jump into it, man. I mean, this is big tomorrow. The state's playing great. They have what it takes. Let's jump into a couple things about this game and a couple things that are going to really be key for Sparty.
Well, I mean, I think the first thing you got to do is not play like your coach is 1-11 against them. If you go back, the Lansing State Journal, I think, recently did an article, probably written in advance, prepping for what seemed like, when you looked at the draw, an inevitable contest. I mean, obviously, you know me. I told you I had plenty of doubts about LSU, plenty of them. But, you know, a lot of other people didn't feel that way. And so I think this article was written in advance, but you looked at guys like – it talked to guys like Drew Neitzel and Mo Agar and how this is what they wanted. So you have to go into this game and you have to want a shot at Duke. All right? There's two levels to the tournament, it seems like, every year. And the first one is you beat Duke. The second one is winning the whole thing. And usually the two go hand-in-hand with how often Duke is in the championship game. But you have to go in there and you have to say, look, over the last two games, these guys haven't looked invincible. And you have a team in Michigan State that has had their backs up against the wall, whether it be to, you know, injuries, a bunch of close games. You've had a lot of these types of contests where, you know, the odds were against Michigan State, and they've proven people wrong, you know. Can you beat Michigan three times in a row? No. Especially with an injured Nick Ward, Kyle Arnes going out in the first half, Cassius Winston having three injuries below his knee. And so, then again, Cassius completely took over that game at the end. Obviously, McQuaid kept their head above water up until then, but he completely took over the game at the end. And so they're used to playing with their backs up against the ball. They're used to playing as the underdog. They were supposed to lose all three games against U of M. They were, you know, they weren't supposed to be athletic enough to beat LSU, so that was my thought. Bradley was a close game. You know, you ended up with Minnesota. You end up playing an LSU team that has a paid kid on the team still on the floor playing, even though the coach is suspended. Why not Duke? Why not right now? You know, I think that's the biggest thing. It's just don't play scared. Play like you're capable of. Play like you know you're capable of. Play like you played against Minnesota. Play like you played against Louisiana State last night. And the one thing that we kind of talked about, another one, is you've got to, we kind of talked about before the show, you've got to own the board. You can't get into a jumping contest with Zion Williamson, you're going to lose. And last night there was a five-minute stretch, which was the same 5 minutes LSU was catching up, which was the same 5 minutes LSU kind of made a game out of it coming out into the second half. For about 5 minutes, Michigan State tried to get in the jumping contest with them, and they lost. And it wasn't close.
No, sure.
You need to
go out there and you need to
hit Zion Williamson. If he's going to get a rebound, he's going over your back, and you can foul him out of the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you know, when we prepped for the show, I mean, you the points you just made at the end there were absolutely true. I mean, you don't need to get in an athletic battle versus teams like LSU and Duke. Play your game like you've played pretty much this whole tournament, and, you know, it has worked. You do have to do a couple things differently, obviously, playing against Duke. But I will say this, one thing that was incredibly encouraging, Barty Nation, is Gabe Brown really played well. And you got to have a few more guys if you're going to beat Duke. And Gabe Brown hitting shots, this is the perfect time, because now you can throw him in and say, hey, we need you to play a couple really good minutes. We need you to do some good things. Aaron Henry's playing really, really well now. I.E. Crow, obviously the yelling match at him, it's worked. So you got to have a couple extra guys. You know, maybe Bingham needs to go in there for 3 or 4 minutes and get some rebounds, affect shots. You got to use every single thing that you have to beat Duke. And I think with Gabe Brown stepping up yesterday, that's another tool. That's another thing added, because you can't just beat Duke with what you've done prior in a way. There's certain things you can do that are going to work. You know, play physical, screen well, let Cash run the show. But there's a couple things that you have to do differently against Duke. And we touched on it before we're doing the show here. You can't turn the ball over, number one. Duke has had such a good hold on State as far as causing turnovers. I don't think State's going to have second opportunities like they do typically. So you got to hit shots. So they're going to have to shoot well and not turn the ball over. Defensively, I think that when you overhelp, look, if Jones is going to hit shots, hey, I guess you live with that. People are not remembering, though, this kid was a good shooter this year. He hits shots. If Cam Reddish plays, he can hit shots. I don't think you play him straight up, Tyler, but talk about things that they have to do that they've done, and maybe a couple things that they can do differently that will make it harder for Duke.
Well, I think one thing that Michigan State has done well, and I mean, you saw it against Ethan Happ. Now, obviously, Happ and Zion are completely different monsters, but they're still monsters nonetheless. You know, Ethan Happ has the old man game, 14 pump fakes in the paint, feel like he's in the lane for 7 seconds and whatever else. Zion, obviously, is a jumping tank. And so I think one of the things that Michigan State did really well against Ethan Happ, how they approached him, because there's not really a guy who can check Happ. Nick Ward does about as well of a job as anybody in the country, but there's still not that one completely shut down guy. It was a quick dig, but it was a dig. It was a long enough dig to make him pick up his dribble, and then the second he picks up the dribble, you put your body on him, try to force him away from the basket, so he's not able to go straight up and over the top of you with a shot. And the second his other hand starts reaching for the ball, you go and you find your shooter. You know, Aaron Henry's going to have to go out and find R.J. Barrett. You know, Caster's going to have to go out and he's going to have to find Trey Jones. So I think that is the one way to guard him. You obviously want to make it as physical for him the entire way down. Show him that you're not going to be intimidated. Don't, I mean, look, everyone knows, you know, his dad was running around asking for money. He knows how good he is. He knows how physically imposing he is. He sees his highlights. Zion Williamson, that is. He sees his highlights. He sees that he is a monster. And you have to go out and show, like I said earlier, you're not going to be intimidated. You got to, you know, bump him as he's trying to get to the block, but at the same time, you can't overplay and have them just slide back door and, you know, catch a lob and put you on the wrong end of a poster. I think that's how you go about guarding him. Well, you said Trey Jones is a pretty good shooter. Duke doesn't hit a ton of threes. You know, they had quite a few yesterday, but I believe, but they aren't a great three-point shooting team, 1 through 5. And so maybe you take your chances, but at the same time, you don't want them to get hot out there. You don't want to sit there, just press on Williamson and then give you 10 feet between the shooter and the closest man either. You know, so I think the dig and quick recoveries and help side defense, which Michigan State has done about as well as anybody in the country, I think that that's the way to go. Initially, obviously, you may have to adjust the game plan as it proceeds, but that's probably the route you're going to have to go with this. And, you know, the second that any shot goes up, make sure you hit number one.
Two things real quick. When I talk about State on defense, there's going to be some things that you do, and you do it great, and it doesn't work because Duke's just got some talented players that can score the ball. Whether they're going inside or whether they're taking shots from outside and hitting, whether they're just so darn athletic that, you know, one thing I go back to a game, and even though this team is not nearly the team that Duke is, but Indiana gave State a lot of problems with the way they offensive rebounded. You can't allow Zion, RJ, the bigs inside, Bolden, to get second chance. I mean, we haven't even talked about Bolden. He's a problem inside still sometimes. You know, he's a guy that can extend plays. He can get offensive rebounds. Duke's very athletic. I mean, they're super athletic, and they're going to crash as hard as State does. So long threes usually equal what? Long rebounds. Chances for Zion to be more athletic than you and then outwork you. Duke's going to score the ball. There's just things you can't – yeah, there's things you cannot stop. They're just really good. It's going to come down to offense for State. And defense always wins.
Really,
I want to say this one thing.
Let me just interject really quick. When you talk about the rebounds and stuff and how proficient Duke is on the offensive glass, don't forget, Michigan State, they already got prepped for that. They just played one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country. You know, Tom Izzo said it reminded him of 2001 when you had Jason Richardson, when you had Charlie Bell, when you had Zach Randolph, Allen Gagne, those guys who are just bangers who can go up and get the offensive rebounds. So Michigan State, well, they might not have as much success as they did against LSU. They do have the prep for Duke's offensive board.
Of course. They'll be prepared, there's no doubt. I mean, they'll be prepared because Tom's great at preparing them. There's just certain things that you have to do different because Duke is different. Duke's a different team. And I just think it's going to come down to, look, you're going to do everything you can on defense. They're still going to make plays. You got to be poised on offense. So when you get the ball, you know, I mentioned the turnovers earlier. Cash, they're going to put all sorts of pressure on. You know, he's the head of the snake, and they're going to try to cut it off. I thought LSU was all over Cash most of the game. I mean, they were trying to pressure him. They try to wear him down. It's the other guys, when they get the ball, they've got to be tough with it. They can't be careless with it, and they got to make plays. I have no worries that Cash can bring the ball up the floor, get him into their offense, and he'll be just fine. It's the other guys that you go, okay, you have to be good with it. When they go high post to Kenny, you can't turn it over. You got to be good with it. Same thing with Tillman. When Quade has the ball on the wing, you have to be good with it. You got to be able to make a play. You got to be able to hit shots. Duke's defense is not that great. I mean, UCF could score on them. I mean, we've seen Virginia Tech could score on them. Michigan State has enough weapons to score on these guys. They have to. They have to score, whether that's a guy coming off the bench, whether that's them running their stuff efficiently. It's going to be the key, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of that, this is a bring back some PTSD or whatever from last year, because obviously over the past couple seasons, Duke has went away from their man-to-man, which they would run about as much as Tom Izzo runs it right now.
Yep.
they went away from that. They're starting to run that 2-3. Coach K spent a lot of time with Boeheim, with Team USA, and he picked up the 2-3 zone. And they don't run it nearly as efficient as Syracuse does, thank God. But it's mm-hmm. their way of trying to keep some of their stars out of foul trouble, I believe, is the ultimate purpose of why Duke runs it. Because when Duke started running it, they had a great starting lineup. Their bench left a little bit to be desired, and they were getting some foul trouble. So I think that that's a big reason why they do this. I think, all right, look, I've got my reasons as to why Ben Carter still played over Jaren Jackson, okay? But obviously Kenny Goins, I think, would be a better option than both of them. Kenny has been hit or miss over the last six games, but if you want to sit there and you want to, you know, crash that corner so Henry can't hesitate and hit you with that quick cross step that he usually does, or so Cassius has been open, so McQuaid doesn't have time to pump fake and then set up, which he does, and you can ask Jordan Poole about that. Or if
stop it.
You know, you don't want to leave Cassius open. So you can't sit there at the same time. Well, you have to help out and get ready to retreat after Michigan State gets the ball at the top of the key. You can't let Kenny go into the 17-footer either.
Sure.
He has been hit or miss, but he's a very adept passer, and he's got the ability to knock it down. And he was missing against LSU. I want to play the law of averages game, and I want to say he's going to knock a couple down against Duke. So I think you can't leave him open, but at the same time, you've got to recover, and I think that opens up a little, despite the fact Duke runs that zone, I think it opens up driving lanes. The problem is getting it over Zion Tatum.
Yeah. No, I just told you this is a funny analogy, but I think it kind of is pretty similar in its weird way. You know, I watched the Russian Five last night. Awesome freaking documentary, by the way. If anyone's a Red Wings or Detroit or Michigan person, my God, please watch it. The keep away. You know, the Russian Five keep away, right? They keep the puck away from you. They don't need to bang into you. This is a perfect analogy for Michigan State basketball. There's no reason. You got to be physical. I get that. You know, I've got people that are higher up people in the game of basketball, per se, and they're like, we got to be physical. Calm it down. There's no reason to bang into Zion, bang into Bolden, and get it inside. Those guys are hard to go against. They're leapers. Keep away. Let's move it side to side. Let's just make them work. Make them chase after us, not turn the ball over. You know, keep the ball, you know, in sure hands all the time. Don't lose it. And, yeah, when you take a shot, hey, be who you are. Mean, aggressive, crash the boards. Be who you are, Sparty. But there's got to be a sense of, look, certain things aren't going to work with this team inside. You know, Tillman, I think he's a monster, but it's different when you're going against Marcus Bolden. You know, you can bang into somebody as much as you want. When you got Zion jumping over the top, swatting you out of the gym, there's no reason to be physical with these guys. You know, we always talk about in football, right, how Harbaugh drives me nuts. It's like running into a wall, and what does Ohio State do? Ah, we're going to run away from you. We're going to run away from you. And there's a little bit of that State needs to have. We don't need to run into you. We need to run away from you. We need to move the ball side to side. Player movement, screening to get open.
Let me ask you a question about the matchups, though. Are you sure Tillman goes on Bolden?
Oh, I don't know. I think that will probably be the case,
Because that means that you're going to have to put Kenny Goins on Zion Williamson, and I don't think that's a great matchup at all. I think that Goins can – yeah, I think Goins can use more of a can use more of his basketball IQ to negate Bolden to an extent where maybe you can put Tillman on Zion Williamson, because here's the thing. Obviously, I'm partial to Tillman. I've talked about it a billion times over. Tillman, my favorite player on the team, especially now because Cassius just knocked off my favorite player all time as the Big Ten single season assist leader. But Tillman's my favorite player on the team. I think that he's obviously got more athleticism than Kenny Goins. He's got a little more height. He's a great defender, very underrated as far as his defense goes. I think maybe you give him a shot. You give him first crack at Zion.
I think the matchups that hurt State more, believe it or not, is when they have the ball. And that's what I meant when you're inside on Duke. The problem for State is the leaping ability of Duke, where the easy shots inside for Tillman on the boards, or when he gets the ball inside, he out-muscles people. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work tomorrow. That's my matchup problem for State, is how do we play offense? Where on defense, look, Duke's who they are. They're super talented. You know, mano-a-mano, it's not a good matchup for Michigan State. It's a terrible matchup. You know, I mean, you can go down the line. I mean, RJ against Henry. Henry's athletic, but RJ's better. I mean, if Quade's on RJ, RJ's a pro. I mean, Zion, who cares who guards him? He's just better. Bolden is tough inside. You know, Jones, as much as Cash is amazing, Jones is not an easy matchup. I mean, he can really shoot. He's fast. He's not a terrible defender. The problem is that, as I think Michigan State on offense, they're going to have to do a lot of things to get guys open. And when you're open and when you're moving, you got to hit shots. I mean, you just have to hit shots. If you put all your worries on defense and how we stop Duke, you're wasting your time. Because I would say this, I've coached. I would put 75% of my practice on what we're going to do on offense. Because I think on defense, hey, we've been drilled on defense all year, guys. Do what we do. Be great and help. Be aggressive. Do all you can do through our system, and let's just hope they miss shots and we do a great job of rebounding. I mean, there really ain't much else to talk about. I mean, you can talk about what individual players do. Hey, Zion gets the ball. If you give him 5 feet, he's still driving. He's going left. He's driving into you. He's trying to do whatever he can. RJ, hey, be cautious.
He's discarding you like Earl Campbell with his off arm.
You know, Zion's a weird guy. I told a friend today, I said, it's like that LeBron thing. You can't stop him because he just runs you over, but he's kind of fluid. You know, he gets to the basket. He's kind of fluent in the air. There ain't as much. You can't teach that. So
yeah.
I'm telling you, I just feel like we came from a school where it was defense, defense, defense. I get it. And maybe I'm a little biased because, I liked offense more. But you got to put the ball in the basket. You can't turn it over. You can't be foolish. And State has been sometimes. They're careless sometimes. They haven't been in this tournament for the most part. I thought Bradley, they just played terrible. But what are we going to do on offense? I mean, that's just got to be what it is. What the heck can we do to get great shots always?
Now, for those of you who are listening who aren't familiar, you know, obviously me and Jeremy, we went to the same high school. We had a basketball coach just preaching defense. Says you don't play unless you play defense. Jeremy is the only guy on the team. He would say, no, you're cool. Go ahead and take that half of the court off.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I didn't take the half court off. I just didn't take it as serious as the other side. How dare you? How dare you? Hey, look at my guy didn't score. Now, did I dive on the floor and take charges? Probably not. But I care
probably
about defense.
Not.
How dare you? Hey, how dare you? Once again.
But, you know, the thing with Michigan State's offense is it seems like for a while a lot of the Big Ten was starting to go over to zone defenses. They don't run a lot of zone anymore. There's nobody really who sits there and is constantly in that zone. And so I think maybe the lack of experience in that department may be a little bit of an issue for guys like Gabe Brown and Aaron Henry, who are going to see quite a few minutes as younger players. The older players, I mean, you haven't seen the zone in a year. You know you're not seeing it in practice. You're not seeing it really anywhere in the Big Ten. You might have one non-conference game a year where they do zone for quarter of the game, half the game, but then McQuaid hits a couple threes, Winston hits a couple threes, and they're like, all right, you know what, screw this, we're going back to our man. I think that may be a little bit of a hindrance. Focusing on offense, but at the same time, you know, you got shooters. Izzo does have a good scheme as far as zones go, which people are going to laugh at after last season. The scheme is there. It's just, are the players knocking down the shots they're supposed to? And unlike what Jaren Jackson was doing, are they making the right passes at the right time? Well, instead of a freshman who doesn't play in certain situations, you now have a fifth-year senior who plays in every situation. And he's a much better passer than people realize. He's a good shooter from the perimeter. Isn't really that threat to, you know, take it off the bounce if you're giving him too much room, and so that may be a little bit of an issue. And if that doesn't end up working, you know, you put in another guy who, he is a freshman, but he is playing in every situation. You put in Aaron Henry. Henry has the athleticism to make you pay for it. And then that way you have Tillman, who he can shoot the outside shot. He just hasn't done it as of late. He hit a corner three yesterday, but that was his first three attempt in quite a while. And at the beginning of the year, he was chucking. And then you have McQuaid, and then you have Cassius Winston, and you have Kenny Goins all on the outside. So do you put Aaron Henry in the middle and try to stir it up a little bit? I think you can go either way with that.
Absolutely.
I think you can go either way with that. And then when you put Nick Ward into the game, because he said he will go after the Hanzers, which, you know, scary fall, and especially all the injuries that we've been through. Last thing you need to see, oh, it's a bruise. Yeah, it's on the same hand as your broken hand, but it's just in a different part. So now you're rocking your whole hand hurting off my fingers and everything. Like, you can put Tillman in that spot, and Tillman's got a lot of the same capability as Goins, except he's surprisingly agile, and he can take you off the bounce. And so you have different options. You have different people you can put in the middle of the zone, and they can all do different things to make Duke pay. And what type of pressure is that going to put on the Blue Devils, who, well, like I said, they learned the zone from the master of the zone, Jim Boeheim.
Yeah.
They're not nearly as good at running it as Jim Boeheim.
No, I do think they will throw that 2-3 on Michigan State. I think Michigan State and their half-court man-to-man offense has been so good that I think Coach K will mix it up. I think what you said about the scheme or Michigan State being drilled properly to run good zone off, absolutely. I mean, it's not a matter of what they run, it's who's in what spot. Like, you know, you mentioned Aaron Henry in the middle. Absolutely. You know, you got a guy who's athletic, who gets the ball in the middle, could probably do something with it. That's what they need. I mean, they just got to have the guys in the right spots. If Ward can go, you know, maybe he can get, you know, seal the bottom of the zone and get an easy lay-in. You know, there's a lot of things they can do to get the ball inside still through the zone. And then, yeah, when they're open from outside, you got to hit shots. I mean, last year against Syracuse, they missed so many threes, and, you know, they just couldn't hit that night. And there were some times where they just didn't have the proper guy in the right spot. And, you know, I don't know. I can't see Kay running a ton of zone, but I do think he may throw it out there. If he was smart, which, I mean, he's been known to be pretty intelligent, I think he should run some zone. I think they're not a great defensive team.
900 wins kind of speak on that.
I think they're long enough to run that zone pretty good to give State problems. And I think it also gives guys like Zion an opportunity to just kind of hang out and try to clean up the glass. You know, that's always the problem in zone, right? It's hard to rebound out of a zone on defense. But I think because they're so athletic, they can maybe get away with some things. But, yeah, that'll be interesting, Tyler, because, I think that's a really cool topic. Will Duke run that zone?
Oh, I mean, I think they will. Now, admittedly, I don't watch a ton of Duke. You know, but I see enough of them, and it looks like every time they're on, like, that's what they're going to unless the game starts coming down to the wire. Then I think they start mixing it up a little bit. I think they do end up running zone, and I think that's going to be a majority of their defense. Like I said, well, like you said, Coach K is not a dummy. Well, Michigan State, they haven't seen a lot of zone, and so I think he's going to try to throw that curveball at them.
Yeah. No, I think they'll pressure the ball, too. I think that you might even see a little bit of full-court pressing from Duke because it's been successful against State. I think you're going to see, hey, let's make sure when they get down the court they don't have a whole lot of time, where they got to beat us more one-on-one because that's not what they're, you know, great at per se. Whereas Duke on offense, hey, I mean, they're gonna get the guys that, you know, they're going to get the horses in the right spots, and then you just got to hang on for dear life. And you got to try to stop them. You got to be, you know, as physical as you can be without fouling. Because, I mean, that's the next thing we could talk about. I mean, you're going to get some bad calls. I mean, you might as well just be prepared for it. Zion's going to drive the lane. You're going to help. You're going to dig, and whoop, there goes that whistle. I mean, it's just going to happen. So you have to play over that as well. And that's why I keep harping on the offense. It's just, hey, make sure we do good on offense too, because we can't allow the officials, we can't allow Duke hitting tough shots to affect us on offense. Because, I mean, you know it, Tyler. I mean, come on. We watched Duke this year. They've been just scooting by. And a little bit of that is, I'm sorry, couple calls don't go their way, we might not be talking about Duke. I mean, the game against UCF blew it. Were a couple of those calls questionable? Absolutely. But at the same time, you know, you got to be prepared for that against Duke.